Today, I would like to look at a topic that was on Christ's mind shortly before he took the final Passover and his subsequent crucifixion. It has already been referred to during the Passover service itself and was mentioned on the first holy day. It has also come up in conversation over the last 7 days. It is critical to our future. If anything, without it, we don't even have a part in the future. So what is this topic? What that could be so important? Turn, if you would, please, to John 15, a very familiar scripture, especially at this time of the year. John 15, and we'll start reading from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Greek word translated here as purgeth is Strong's number 2508, which means to cleanse, or more specifically, to prune. What I would like to do today is to look into pruning and see what lessons we can learn from the analogy. So before we go any further, what is pruning and what does it entail? Pruning is a horticultural practice involving the selective removal of certain parts of a plant, such as branches, buds, or roots. It is a critical part in the development of any healthy plant or tree. If we carry on reading in John 15, we will see one of the primary reasons for pruning. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Our reason for existence, physically here, is to grow fruit, and pruning plays an essential part in that process. By removing unwanted and unnecessary growth, the nutrients can be directed to the desired part of the plant, resulting in either more or better quality fruit. Properly pruning a fruit tree or shrub opens up the canopy, which improves the plant's ventilation and lets more light shine through. This gives the plant enough space and energy to grow more buds and flowers. With its healthy branches and buds, the tree or shrub will be able to produce larger fruit and more of them at a time. As far as we are concerned, the analogy is obviously not a physical one, although walking out of the barber's this week, I sure felt like I had been pruned. Our purpose as physical human beings is to develop God's character, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The pruning that God needs to do to us is predominantly for the purpose of yielding more fruit. More love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Sometimes we too grow branches in the wrong places that restrict the light getting to the developing fruit. Some of the causes of these are referred to in Galatians 5 as the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Although the primary purpose discussed here relates to fruit production, there are other reasons for pruning. Pruning also includes the targeted removal of diseased, damaged, dead, non-productive, or structurally unsound parts of the plant. This then encourages new and healthy growth and stops the spread of any disease. Throughout the days of unleavened bread, we have been concentrating on putting out sin and instead filling ourselves with God's law. As Mr. Forson mentioned on the first day, This isn't something that we only have to do for 7 days and can then go back to doing whatever we were doing before. It is a lifelong process that we will all be undertaking until we finally become spirit. When we sin, we are left with some dead or unproductive branches that need to be removed, and God, as the husbandman, will prune these off to encourage the growth that he wants to see. This process is essential for our salvation. Without it, we can have no part in God's plan. Turn, please, if you would, to Hebrews 12, and we'll see just how important this is. In Hebrews 12, and we'll start reading from verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. If we are not pruned, we become spiritually illegitimate. These are serious words, and the implications are immense. Just put in your notes Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Eternal. Even to his 10th generation he shall not enter into the congregation of the Eternal. Being pruned by our Creator is an identifying sign of his children. When thought about it in this light, it makes the very well-known scripture in James 1 verse 2 mean a lot more. We can count it all joy when we are pruned, because it means God is working with us to become his spirit-born children. But there are risks when pruning. Pruning at the wrong time of the year, or in the wrong places, can actually stunt growth, or even cause the tree to die. The individual performing the pruning must know just how much to take off, and equally importantly, when and where. Different plants need different techniques. Some require heavy pruning from time to time, and you are left with a tiny little stick poking out of the ground that looks like it's already dead, but in a matter of weeks, there is already new growth forming from it. Other times, you need to wait until the flowers have fully died before removing them, otherwise the plant won't be able to produce any more flowers in the future. The main thing here is that God knows exactly what we need in order to reach our full potential. Sometimes we might need a light pruning to remove some old flowers to concentrate on new growth. Other times, we might need what appears to be a much harder pruning. But we know that God will not prune us harder than we can bear, and the focus is always on growth. God doesn't prune us as a punishment. Instead, he will do whatever is necessary to keep us healthy and fruit-bearing. In his personal, in the Good News of April 1982, Mr. Armstrong wrote the following. But is God unfair? Does he hate Christians and punish them, while he loves the ungodly and prospers them? Not at all. There is a great purpose in the trials, tests, tribulations, and sufferings that a Christian must endure, for these are the very means of strengthening character, of developing fine, upstanding, strong Christians. God does not bless the ungodly with wealth. They acquire it, usually in one or both of two ways, by setting their hearts and minds on acquiring it and following through this purpose to the exclusion of all else, until without realizing it, the pursuit of money becomes the pursuit of their God, destroying their soul, or by dishonest means. But God does bless those who seek him first, not always with great money and wealth, but always, in the end, with material prosperity they would not have had otherwise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, admonished Jesus, and all these things, material prosperity in shelter, food, clothing, shall be added unto you, Matthew 6, verse 33. That is Jesus' promise. God loves to see his servants prospering. He says so through David and John. He corrects and chastens every son whom he loves. He allows his true children to suffer much, to fall into troubles, difficulties, to face trials and tests for their strengthening. But if we endure these tests, hard though they may be, and if we seek first our God, his righteousness, and his kingdom, putting material interests second in our hearts, then in his own due time, God will always prosper his children, even in a material way. As a husbandman, God is passionate about what he wants to achieve. He doesn't just give up on us the moment we start failing to produce the right fruit. Instead, he works even harder to try and get us back on track. Turn, if you would, now to Luke 13, and we'll read a little bit more about this one. Luke 13, and verse 6. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? And he answered unto him, saying, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, then I shall cut it down. God is patient with us. He knows just what we need and when we need it. All we have to do is respond to the pruning and concentrate on developing the right fruit. So in conclusion, as we come to this final day of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we start to turn our eyes towards the next phase of God's plan, we need to remain focused on producing the kind of fruit that God expects of us. We will encounter trials along the way as God our Father continues to prune us, to get us into the best shape possible to produce the fruit of his Spirit. We need to grow in the areas that are being nurtured and respond to the pruning in a positive way, submitting to God and allowing him as the master husbandman to prune off any bad habits that could lead to sin and stop us achieving the potential that he has planned for us. As Christ himself said, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit.